Our loving Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the gift of life. We thank you today, God, for forgiving our sins, for being merciful, for being patient, for being long-suffering. As we bow in your holy presence, dear Father, we ask you to grant us your Spirit in abundance, that he may direct our thinking, Father, that as spiritual things are discussed, they may make sense to us. We also ask, Lord, for a contingent of angels that excel in strength, that they may guard us as we worship you, that we may do so in safety. Father in heaven, as for me, forgive my sins, dear God. Have mercy on me, Father. Use me for your glory alone. As I speak, let me speak with no consciousness of self, but with the consciousness of Jesus Christ, and that he deserves all the glory. Use me, I pray, dear Father, and let these powerful words soften the hearts of those who are listening. Bless my little brother Benjamin, dear God. Thank you for the effort he made. Continue to give him growth in spiritual things, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Let us go to John 17, our subject, like sinner, like Savior. John 17, we'll read from verse 16. John 17, this is really the Lord's Prayer, the entire chapter. Read it sometime. Read it several times. Read it slowly. Read it microscopically. Read it prayerfully. A beautiful chapter. Listen to Jesus Christ talking to his Father. John 17, verse 16, Jesus prays, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Pause. Christ expresses a similarity between himself and his follower. They are not of the world the same way I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Listen to verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now we have a broader area of similarity. Jesus is saying, the same way you sent me, that's precisely the same way I send them. By saying that, Christ is establishing a very powerful truth, that the relationship between the Father and the Son must be replicated in the relationship between the Son and the believer. Let me say that again. The relationship between Christ and God must be reflected in the relationship between Christ and the believer. Let's go to John 15. John 15. Let's read from verse 8. Our subject, like sinner, like Savior. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Listen to verse 9 again. As what? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. We have that similarity again. Jesus is saying, the same way the Father loves me, that's how I love you. I repeat, the relationship between God and Christ must be reproduced in the relationship between Christ and you. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Listen to verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That's the relationship between the believer and Christ. What is it based on? Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here again, we have the same teaching emphasized. The relationship between God and Jesus, I say again, must be reproduced in the relationship between Christ and us. If that's clear, say amen. Say it again. Well, maybe it wasn't clear. Let me repeat. Jesus said, the same way the Father loves me, that's how I love you. The same way I abide in my Father's love by obedience. That's how you abide in my love. The same way I am not of the world, you are not of the world. Let me say it one more time. The relationship between God and Christ must be reproduced in the relationship between Christ and you. If that's clear, say amen. All right. Our subject, like sinner, like savior. Tonight, our purpose is to emphasize the closeness between Christ and us. If you've never thought during this series, think tonight. Let us go to Job chapter 14. We'll read verse 1. Our subject, like sinner, like savior. Job 14, reading verse 1. Now, while you're searching for Job, let me set up a scenario for you. Let me take this and put it right here. This represents one group. Then I'll take this and put it, all right, right here. This represents another group or another person. Now, okay, let me explain. This is the sinner. This is the savior. All right, let me see if you're following me. Come on, say it. Good. Perfect marks. All right. Listen now to Job 14, verse 4, verse 1. If you found it, say amen. Read it with me now. Man that is born of what? A woman is of few days and many sore troubles. Now, man that is born how? Come on, I need to hear you. Of a woman. What side is this? How is the sinner born of a woman? Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. We'll read verse 4. Galatians 4, we'll read verse 4. Our subject, like sinner, like savior. Galatians chapter 4, reading verse 4. Have you found it? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Read the next few words. Made or born of a woman. Now, sinner. Come on, tell me something about the sinner. Sinner. Born of a woman. Savior. Yes, let's try it again. Sinner. Savior. One more time. Sinner. Savior. Born of a woman. Let's go to, stay in Galatians 4. Let's begin verse 4 again. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made how? Under the law. Keep reading. To redeem them that were? Come on, give me volume. Made of a woman, made how? Under the law, to redeem them that were? Under the law. All right, let's review. Beginning with the first characteristics. Sinner. I need to hear you. I'm hearing noise. I want to hear something clear. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Let me tell you what it is. You're probably right. Sinner made of a woman. Savior made of a woman. Sinner made under the law. Savior made under the law. Now, every time I add, the list gets longer. So you have to really use your brain. Sinner, made of a woman. Savior, made of a woman. Sinner, made under the law. Savior, made under the law. Let's go to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, quickly. Like sinner, like savior. Hebrews 2. When you found it, say amen. For both he that sanctifieth, and verse 11, did I tell you what verse? Sorry. Verse 11, Hebrews 2, my apologies. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. They are one. Let's get some more information about how much they are one. Verse 14 of Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Stop. Let's start from item number one. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Flesh and blood. Let's read it. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Is that in your Bible? He also himself likewise took part of the same. Let's try it again. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Yes. Ah, you're getting better. Let's keep going. Let us go to, Matthew. Let's go to James first, then we'll come to Matthew. James, then Matthew. We've had three characteristics so far. Made of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, made under the law, flesh and blood, meaning he shares a nature with us. Now, James chapter 1, reading from verse 13, the Bible says, and this is the brother of Jesus writing, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That verse tells us, or that passage, James 1:13-15, that people are tempted. Now, let's go to Matthew 3. Well, Matthew 4. Reading from verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4, our subject, like sinner, like savior. Matthew chapter 4, reading from verse 1. What time is it, my good brother? 7:28. All right. We have from 7:28, I may go to 8:15, I may not, but that's what my thinking right now. Matthew 4, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Very clearly the Bible tells us that Christ was tempted. We read in James, humanity is tempted. We've added a fourth characteristic. Let's review from characteristic one. And I want to hear you loud and clear pronouncing the words clearly. Here we go. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior, sinner, savior, sinner, savior. Very good. Yes. What's our subject? Like sinner, like savior. All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very familiar passage. You should know it without looking. Verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. When you found it, say amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, so we've just established we are to live by faith. Now let's do some reasoning. Go to John 8:29. John 8:29, our subject, like sinner, like savior. John 8, my second favorite book after the book of Genesis. Do you have John 8, verse 29? Listen to Jesus Christ. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that what? Please him. Now, we read in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Now, let's put two and two together. Jesus says, I do always the things that please him. How did Jesus do that? By faith. Yes. So what kind of life did Jesus live? He lived a life of faith. Now, we have five items. Let me see who falls by the wayside. We're starting at item one. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Yes, live by faith. Mm-hmm. You're doing very well. Let's look at the next item as we continue. Like sinner, like savior. Let us go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We read verse 13. Well, no, let's go to Luke 18. You're close to Luke because we were just in John. Luke 18, let's read verse 1. Make it easier for you to find those passages. Luke 18, reading from verse 1. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What did Jesus say we ought always to do? Pray and not faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Matthew 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Bible tells us we are to pray. All right. Let's go to Luke 11. Luke 11, our subject, like sinner, like savior. Luke chapter 11. When you found out, say amen. Who's still looking? If you're still looking, say amen. Okay. Hurry up, hurry up. We were in Luke 18. It can't be that long to get Luke 11. All right, Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that while he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let's read that verse again. And it came to pass that as he was what? Praying in a certain place. Christ was praying. Go to Matthew 14. Let's read from verse 22. Quickly. Matthew 14, reading from verse 22. Do you have that? This is the last night. Well, we have tomorrow. But I'm hoping between tonight and tomorrow that my friends on the right will change an answer before this side answers. It would make me so happy on my way home. Finally, I won the victory with my friends on this side. All right, Matthew 14, reading from verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus went up into a mountain apart to do what? To pray. Now, we have another item added to the list. It's getting more stressful. Let's start again. I'd like to hear the answer loudly from this side, but it's just a request, not a command. Here we go. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. How many is those? Six. For those of you who are writing down and thereby cheating, six. Six. Let's add number seven. Let's add number seven. Let us go to Mark 16. We read 15 and 16 of Mark 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Mark is the shortest gospel of the four. Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. Do you have Mark 16, the very last chapter of that book? Verses 15, 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So we're called upon to be baptized. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. We'll read verses 37 and 38. Peter is delivering that powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost. And there's a pause in the presentation. And in verse 37, the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, what? Repent and be what? Baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we have a requirement for sinners to be baptized. All right. Let's go to Matthew 3. We read from verse 13 of Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 13, our subject, like sinner, like Savior. When you found it, say amen. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill our righteousness. So he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was what? Baptized. We're told to be baptized. Now, let's review from item number one. Are you ready? Okay. Sinner. Savior. 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 Yes. And the list is not over. It's not over. How many do we have so far? Seven. Perfect number, but we make it even more perfect. Let's add another one. Let us go to Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. Our subject, like sinner, like Savior. There's a very good reason why I'm taking you through this exercise. You'll realize that quite soon. What book did I say? What chapter? 6, what verse? 23. Read with me. You know this verse very well. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:12. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So the Bible tells us sinners die. Let's look at our Savior. Revelation 1, let's read from verse 17. Revelation 1, reading from verse 17, our subject, like sinner, like Savior. Revelation, last book of the Bible, the book in which all the other 65 books find their fulfillment. You have Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth. Read the next few words. And was dead. Jesus says, I was dead. Sinners die. Jesus died. Let's review now. Item number one. I only want the men to answer. Only the men. Only the men. Men. Disciples. Apostles, here we go. Sinner. Sinner. Savior. 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 sinner, savior. Yes, good, good. Oh, brothers, I'm proud of you. You're very handsome men. Ladies, say amen. You know, the church needs strong men. Families need strong men. Society needs strong men. A strong man is not someone who can deadlift 10,000 pounds, but someone who can take on responsibility. Are you with me? All right. Okay. How many do we have so far? Eight. Let's add another one. Shall we add another one? Yes. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. We'll read verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, reading verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. You know it very well. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Finish that verse. And the dead in Christ shall do what? Rise first. What will dead people experience? Resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, let's read verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. All right. Christ was resurrected. Sinners are resurrected. Let us go down that list again this time. Sisters, follow the lead of your men. I'm listening closely. Are you ready, my sisters? Sisters, are you ready, yes or no? All right, here we go. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Tempter. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. Amen. I mean that genuinely. Amen. Now let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, we thank you for the excitement of Bible study. As I move into this last phase of this message, let the Spirit work even more assiduously, dear God. I mean, let him work perspiringly, that minds may understand what is about to be delivered. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Acts 2, 37 and 38 of Acts 2. When you found it, say amen. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, what? Come on loudly, what did Peter say? Repent. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. This is Peter preaching again. Verse 19, what is the first word he uses in verse 19? Repent. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. We read verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. If you find that, say amen. From that time forth began Jesus to say, to preach and to say, what? Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we're told we're to repent. Now, when I said sinner, you said born of a woman, born of a woman, made under the law, made under the law, flesh and blood, tempted, tempted, prayed, or lived by faith. Live by faith, prayed, prayed, baptized, baptized, died, died, resurrected, resurrected, no problem at all. Let's add one more to sinner, which is repent. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. One more time, let's go down the list. Everybody. Sinner. Savior. Sinner. Savior. sinner, Savior, 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 sinner, Savior. Why did you shake your head? What's number 10 for sinner? Say it loudly. Number 10, sinner, Savior. Now, we need consistency. You can't tell me it's the same for made of a woman, made under the law, flesh and blood, tempted, lived by faith, prayed, baptized, died, resurrected, and then back off repentance. Question for you. Did Jesus die, yes or no? Why did he die? Give me one word, three letters. Sin. The only reason anyone can die is because of sin. Jesus died because of sin. But let me hasten to say, or to ask, because of whose sins? Ours. Come on, say it loudly. Our sins. Because Christ never sinned. Now, if he can die for sins he didn't commit, why can't he repent of sins he didn't commit? Because death is more severe than repentance. Listen to me again. If Christ can die for sins he did not commit, why can he not repent of sins he did not commit? Jesus Christ did repent of the sins he took, not the sins he committed. If that's clear, say amen. That amen was weak. Listen to me again. Let me ask you, did Christ commit any sins? No. Then for whose sins did he die? Our sins. Now, is Christ an example for the believer, yes or no? Yes. Was he an example in resisting sin? Was he an example in the way he conducted himself? Was he an example in baptism? But what has to precede baptism? Repentance. Why are you telling me that Christ was an example in baptism? He was an example in his earthly life. He was an example in resisting sin. But you will not say he was an example in repenting, when repentance must precede baptism. Listen to what Jesus told John the Baptist. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill what? All righteousness. There was one item missing, which was baptism, because the other items were already in place. Confession and repentance. Not of his sins, but of sins he took. The Desire of Ages, page 111, paragraph 2. What did I say? The Desire of Ages, page 111, paragraph 2. Listen carefully. Christ did not receive baptism as a confession of guilt on his own account. Did he receive baptism, yes or no? Yes, but not as a way of confessing his own sins. The writer goes on to say, he identified himself with sinners, taking the steps we are to take, doing the work we must do. Now you tell me, what are the steps we are to take? What are the steps? Listen again. I want you to think, even if you faint, I want you to think. Listen to me carefully. Listen to the quotation. Christ did not receive baptism as a confession of guilt on his own account. It was for someone else's guilt, which he took. He identified himself with sinners. Now listen carefully. Taking the steps we are to take. What steps are we to take? Think of baptism. What steps are we to take? Confession. Come on. Repentance. And then baptism. Manuscript Releases, Volume 21, page 196, paragraph 2. Manuscript Releases, Volume 21, page 196, paragraph 2. When Jesus said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, here's what the writer says. In fulfilling all righteousness, Christ did not bring all righteousness to an end. Listen carefully. He fulfilled all the requirements of God in repentance, faith, and baptism. The steps in grace in genuine conversion. Christ went through the conversion steps for us. Despite what I just read, some of you are resisting. I can sense it. No, no, no. My Savior couldn't repent. Yes, He did. But not of His sins. He repented of our sins. The same way He died because of our sins. And the same way He was baptized because of our sins. It makes no sense to say Christ was baptized because of our sins. Christ died because of our sins. And then say He did not repent of our sins. It makes no sense. When studying the Bible, we must reason. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something about repentance. Repentance is not something the carnal nature can do. The carnal nature does not repent. Repentance is a gift from God. Without the help of God, no man can repent. Romans chapter 2 verse 4, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I repeat, repentance is a gift from God. Acts 5, 30 and 31, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom He slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Repentance is a gift from God. The carnal nature cannot repent. No sinner can repent without divine help. And so Jesus Christ repented on our behalf. So that when we say, I'm sorry, I turn away, our repentance is accepted on the strength of the repentance of Christ. When you confess a sin, or I confess a sin, that confession is accepted on the strength of the confession of Christ. No one can go to God and confess, because it is not in the carnal nature to confess. It is not in the carnal nature to repent. It's not in the carnal nature to feel sorry for sin. By the way, if there's a sin we keep committing and we're not sorry, ask God to give us sorrow. Let me say it again. Ask God to give us sorrow. Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 393, paragraph 3. Christ pardons none but the penitent. But whom He pardons, He first makes penitent. Ask God to make you sorry. Because sorrow for sin does not come from the carnal nature. It is a gift from above, you understand. That's why Christ had to do it. He confessed our sins. He repented of our sins. He was baptized because of our sins. He went through the steps of conversion because of our sins. He died because of our sins. He never sinned. And so the sinner is made of a woman. The Savior was made of a woman. The sinner is made under the law. The Savior came under the law. The sinner is flesh and blood. The Savior was and remains flesh and blood. The sinner is tempted. The Savior was tempted. The sinner is to live by faith. The Savior lives by faith. The sinner is required to pray. The Savior prayed. The sinner is required to be baptized. The Savior was baptized. The sinner dies. The Savior died. The sinner will be raised. The Savior was raised. The sinner must repent. The Savior repented and confessed. This tells us how Christ identified with us. My brothers and my sisters, we're discussing God, the one who said, "Let there be light." The Creator, the one equal with the Father. He came so low, so low, as to be made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin. Somehow the Father made him sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ literally took our sins, and because he identified with our sins, he had to go through the steps. Confession, repentance, baptism. And so when Christ stood on the banks of Jordan, before he began his public ministry, he was baptized. And the Father, looking down from the portals of heaven, was pleased with what the Son had done. And a voice came ringing through heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Every time a soul is baptized, genuinely baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, those words from the Father apply to that person. This is my beloved Son. Why? Because you are accepted on the strength of the baptism of Jesus. And so as Jesus identified himself with us, we must reciprocate by identifying ourselves with him. You see, he identified with us as sinners. We identify with him as a conqueror. Ah, you didn't hear what I said? Christ came and he took our sins. We are not to take his sins. We are to take his righteousness. Somebody say amen. He took our sins. He identified with our sins. We are to identify with his victory. Remarkable thought that a sinless Christ said to his Father, "Father, I am sorry." Why? Confessing the sins he took, with which he identified. We're told in Isaiah, he was numbered with the transgressors. That's how closely he identified with our sins. God looked down and saw a sinner on that cross and turned away. Now Jesus says to us, as I identified with your sins, you identify with my victory. Identify with my righteous life. And walk and live the life that I came to make possible for you to live, which is a victorious life. My brother and my sister, whatever your weakness is, whatever the besetting sin is, Jesus confessed it. He repented of it on your behalf. Now, through faith in his word, you accept that fact so that when you confess, when you repent, you are doing it knowing that a confession and a repentance was laid down by Christ for you. And you place your confession on that. You place your repentance on that. And that is what makes it acceptable to the Father. No one needs to leave this place tonight weak, despairing, never ever hoping to conquer. Christ conquered, and we are to identify with his conquest. Christ was victorious. We are to identify with his victory. I need to say that again. The same way he identified with our sin, we identify with this victory. Can you say amen? I thank God for this arrangement. Only a God can devise a plan like that. Right now, Christ is in what the Bible calls the most holy place. There's a temple in heaven, very clear from the Bible, Hebrews 9. And Christ is interceding on our behalf. The merits of His victorious life, His sinless life, His voluntary death, His tremendous resurrection from the dead. When Christ came from the dead, He came up victorious over death, hell, the sin, Satan, and the grave. He was victorious over everything that is of Satan, and He stands to make that victorious power available to those who will connect to Christ by faith and surrender. My brother and sister, there is no power on earth as great as the power of the life of Jesus Christ. No nuclear power, no atomic power, no hydrogen power. The power of the victorious life of Christ, which is available to you and to me. To conquer every sin, large and small. And so tonight, Jesus is looking down and He says, "My son, my daughter, have you yet identified with my victory? Have you identified with my righteousness? Have you identified with my conquest? Have you identified with me as a savior as I identified with you as a sinner?" Without that identity, which is a matter of faith and surrender, no one can conquer sin and no one can be fitted for a place in God's kingdom. Let me say it again, differently. Only as we identify by faith, accepting what Jesus Christ did, making it ours by accepting it as ours, having been, in other words, Christ died for you. Forget the hundreds of those sitting around you. Christ died for you. He repented of your sins. He confessed your sins. He was baptized for you. He died because of your sins, and He rose victorious for you. Personal. Unless you accept that, there's no possibility of having a place in God's kingdom. And so tonight I call upon you in the name of this Jesus, who identified with our sins that we might identify with His righteousness. I call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ, who became one with us as sinners, that we may become one with Him as a victor. In His name I ask you, make a decision tonight to truly give your life to Christ, who has already confessed your sins and repented of your sins, but is waiting for you to accept that because He cannot force it on you. The merits of that work in your life and mine when we accept it. And the moment I accept that Christ repented of my sins, then my natural urge is to say, "I am so sorry for my sins. I confess them, and I place my confession on the confession of Christ." Soon after Christ was baptized, He went into the wilderness, tempted. 40 days later, He emerged, and He began His public ministry. Some of us, we need to do the same thing. We need to be baptized before we consider plunging into service for God the way we would love to. Before we consider mission service, before we consider whatever branch of service to Christ, some of us need to consider being baptized or rebaptized with this understanding of what Christ has done for us. I'm sure many of you have been baptized. You were baptized as children. You had no clue what you were doing. Some of you were baptized because your friends, you were baptized, you wanted to be baptized with them. You did not know what you were doing. Some of you were baptized because you were forced by your parents, who did not understand salvation cannot be forced. Whatever the situation is, I am convicted and convinced there's someone listening to my voice who needs to make a decision to be baptized or rebaptized, and thereby identify not only with the baptism, but the confession and the repentance that precede baptism. Identifying with your Savior in His victory, as He identified with you in your sin. Yet he remained sinless. Let me say it again. Someone needs to make a decision tonight and say, Father, I desire to be baptized. Christ has confessed on my behalf. He's repented on my behalf. I accept that confession. I accept that repentance. And I want to take the next step and be baptized so that my confession, repentance, and baptism are all accepted to you on the strength of what Christ has done for me. Aren't you glad for the plan of salvation? Can I see your right hand? Aren't you glad for this arrangement that God has made? That a sinless God can take your sin and yet remain sinless, but yet be treated like a sinner, so that you, a sinner, can take his righteousness and be treated as a righteous person. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The same way Christ was treated like a sinner, when we accept his sacrifice, we are treated as righteous. Loving Father, we thank you for us, like sinner, like Savior. We thank you to God for the tremendous extent to which Jesus Christ identified with sinners that we might identify with his righteous, sinless life. He identified with our weakness that we might, through faith, identify and connect with his power. We thank you for the decisions that have been made tonight, dear God, for baptism and rebaptism. We thank you for those who said we'd like additional information that we may quickly come to the place where we make an intelligent decision to obey God and to live according to his commandments. Father, bless all those who responded. Bless all those who heard the word. As we leave, let us meditate on the word, dear God. Please, Father, hear this humble prayer. We offer it in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.